just turn to people we've not had a chance to say hello yet. Turn to somebody and say hello to them. Somebody you've not met before, somebody you don't recognize, or just make sure nobody is left without being said hello to. Okay, great, great. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word that teaches us and that guides us. We pray that today, as we think about it, we would leave this place different people than the ones we came in. Amen. Now, it would really help me an awful lot in this sermon if you could all move forward and come to the front. It would really help me an awful lot if you could do that. I'm not going to force you to do it, but if you would, that would be great. No, just on the chairs is fine. Yeah, you don't have to go overboard, but thanks for the keenness. That's right. You are keen. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I've just checked my notes. It would really help, actually, if you could all move across and sit on this side of the church. That would really help. I read the wrong line, so it would really help. If you could sit on this side of the church, that would be helpful. And then we can get started. It's been a very busy week, and forgive me for getting things confused. Thank you. So, let's begin. It's that side you need to be sitting on. So it's that side, actually. If you could sit on that side, that would be more helpful. Sorry. Thank you. Okay. Feel not quite as many people moved as much then. Never mind. Okay, so, thank you. Matthew chapter 5, just get a drink of water. Matthew chapter 5 says, sorry, if you could all just move to the back, that would be really helpful. If you could all just move, I have to preach from about here, so if you could all just move to the back, that would be great, thanks. Sorry, really sorry. Be really helpful if you could just move to the back. That would be helpful. It would be helpful. Thank you. No. Thank you, Roger. Thank you. Okay. Why didn't you move? Some of you haven't moved at all. A couple of you have moved every time, which was fantastic. Some people haven't moved at all. At all. I wasn't asking you to do an action or be silly, or I wonder why you didn't move. Have we got, where did Ed take his microphone? Did you take your microphone with you? Okay, well, you can stand up and be my microphone, roving microphone. If you didn't move at all.
Don't move again.
Put your hands up.
Oh, where are we going first?
Gosh, now's the time to do an action song, quickly. No. And immediately I said that, they all put their hands down. Did you notice?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so put your hands up. We're not asking you to do an action song. Put your hands up if you didn't move at all. Okay, find someone and ask them why they didn't move
Wonderful.
At all.
I'm going to come over here.
All the hands have gone down again. It's not a trick question. I'm not trying to catch anybody out. I'm not going to be mean to anybody at all. You're part of the illustration, so please put your hands up and tell me why you didn't move at all. Sheila, go on.
Oh, I'm too old.
I'm too old. Excellent.
Never.
Excellent.
Never.
Okay, another one. Put your hands up.
Yeah, let's go over here.
Can you give me a reason?
Yeah, I thought he needed time to gather himself.
Ah, yes, you need some more time.
I need time to gather myself.
Who's helping you?
Oh, okay. Right, Jo had her hand up.
Where's Jo? There she is. Okay.
Well, for the first two, I was in the right place anyway, because I was at the front and on the right-hand side.
Fantastic. There we go.
And then I took a view. It was just an illustration. I didn't really need to, and I couldn't push past my dad.
You took a view. It was just an illustration, so you didn't need to, okay? And then you couldn't push past your dad. Bob, why weren't you first on your feet to go and sit somewhere else, mate?
Age exemption.
Age exemption.
He's exempt. Those are very pragmatic reasons.
And your legs are a bit unsteady, it's fair to say, aren't they, Bob? I think your legs are a bit unsteady to be dancing around the church. Okay, anybody else want to tell us? Right over the other side there, Ed.
Oh, all right. Here we go.
I don't know this gentleman, so make sure you get his name. Welcome to you. It's nice to have you here today.
If you tell us your name and the reason you didn't move...
Michael Whitnell, and I don't play silly games.
Oh!
Michael doesn't play silly games. Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you.
There's lots of reasons, aren't there, why you didn't get up and you didn't move around. Partly, I guess, it's because for some of you, you just like sitting where you like sitting. That's your seat. That's where you sit, and that's how it is. There's good and bad reasons for that, and everybody is a creature of habit. And it's not wrong to sit in the same place every Sunday. So, you know, that's justifiable. That's okay. Just staying in the same place is fine. What about, apart from habit, maybe you didn't sit somewhere else because actually you don't like it sitting somewhere else. So maybe the view isn't as good. Or maybe you don't like sitting at the front in case the vicar picks on you. Maybe you like to sit at the back because that way you can read your bulletin sheet without anybody realising you're not listening to the sermon if the sermon gets a bit boring. Maybe all kinds of reasons why you just don't like sitting somewhere else. Maybe you don't like sitting somewhere else because there's somebody sitting over there that you don't want to sit next to. That could be. What about if it's painful to move? Bob, I guess it's pretty difficult to move quick here, there, and everywhere. And there will be other people who, when they get up, will go, oh. And you know, it's a strain on your back or on your knees or something like that. You don't move because it's painful. What about, it's just too much effort. It's just, I can't be bothered, you know? Why? Get up and move. I might as well sit here as there, so I might as well stay where I am. It's too much effort. Michael, good answer Michael gave us. I don't play silly. Why should I? Why should I move? No reason to move. If I don't want to move, I won't move. And that's absolutely fine. Another good one is, why should I move when I look around and everybody in my row isn't moving? There was one row there that just didn't move at all. The whole row just stayed exactly where it was. It's like a united front of non-participation in the illustration. Nobody else is doing it. Why should I do it? All really good reasons why not to go running around the church just because the vicar says it will make for a better illustration and therefore a better sermon. Why ever would we want to help the vicar do a better sermon? Heavens above, I don't know why we wouldn't want to do that. Maybe it's because you sat somewhere once and something bad happened. Maybe you sat in a different place and it just didn't feel the same, or somebody talked to you and you didn't want that, or all kinds of things. The trouble is that this sermon isn't about moving around the church. This sermon is about who are we going to love? And the problem is that we respond to that question that Jesus asks, that direction that Jesus gives about who we should love, very much with the same responses that we've made this morning about whether we should get up and move around the church just because the leader of the service says, actually, it'll make for a better sermon. God says to us, you know, it will make for a better world if you love one another. If you love your enemies, it will make for a much better world. It makes for a better life for you and a better life for them. And just generally, you know, it'll be a good thing. And the problem is that as Jesus says that to us, our response is, I don't do that. I don't do that just because you've asked me to. I don't want to love that person because there was once upon a time when they said something to me and that made me feel really uncomfortable or made me feel really sad, and I can't go there again. It's too painful to love somebody like that, or that person, or somebody who thinks like that or does like that. It's too painful. I don't sit there. I don't love that kind of person. That's not what I do. I don't love them because I've never loved that kind of person. I don't know the people who sit on this side of church. So therefore, I don't go and sit with them. I stay on my side of the church. I don't love the people I don't know. I don't love the people I don't understand. We have so many reasons why we don't love. And it's just like this morning. For those who didn't move around, and I'm not complaining at you for once for not moving around, because you illustrated the point wonderfully without realizing it. But when it comes to love, the Lord says there isn't really a good enough excuse as to why you can't love somebody. There isn't really an excuse that you can give that makes the Lord say, well, that's all right, you don't have to love that person. No excuse at all, no reason that's good enough, because Jesus himself loved us regardless of who we were or where we were. Over the verses that precede this in Matthew chapter 5, earlier on in the Sermon on the Mount, which is where this comes from, we get Jesus talking about how it should be when it comes to loving one another. And in the verses that come from verses right the way through from verses 21 right the way through to where we are now, Jesus begins to teach the people who are listening about how to relate to one another, how to be honest, how to be trustworthy, how to be generous, how to be faithful, how to be not judgmental. And he's building a picture all the way through this part of the Sermon on the Mount that culminates in the passage that we've had read this morning. Love your enemies. He says, don't be like other people are. Don't just sit there and stay where you are, but get up and move. Don't just be unloving, start to be loving. Because he says, even though there might be people who are your enemies, you still have to love them. You still have to love them. And we try and get out of that a bit, don't we? Even though we accept it when Jesus says it, we get up and say, well, I can love them, but I won't like them. And really, for most of our hearts, that's just code for, I'm just going to still not love them. And that's the truth. Because love is a generous, selfless, and a giving act. And Jesus says to the people who are listening to him, you know, anybody can just love the people that they like. Anybody can just sit where they are. But God calls us to love the people that we don't like. Now, in your mind, just for a moment, if you haven't already thought of that person, who is that person that you don't like, that you don't love? That's the person that the Lord is saying you are to love. It's all very well saying, well, I love lots of people, but Jesus says it's not enough just to love the people that you like, but you must love the people that you don't like. It's not enough to love the people who do good things to you. You've got to love the people who do lousy things to you, who do bad things to you, who do hateful things to you. That's what Jesus is saying. And he's been building that up. And all the way through the verses before, he's been saying to them, do you agree with this, that you should be trustworthy? Oh, yes. Do you agree that you should be honest when you say yes, you mean yes? Oh, yes, I believe that, Lord. Do you believe that you should be faithful? Oh, yes, yes, I believe that, Lord. Do you believe that you shouldn't judge people more harshly than you want to be judged yourself? Oh, yes, yes, I agree with that, Lord. Do you agree, therefore, that you should love everybody? Do you agree that you should even love those who hate you? I don't know. I don't know. Do you agree that you should be part of the church and part of what the church is doing and all the excitement of coming to church on a Sunday morning and being part of the whole thing that everyone's doing? Yes, we do. That's why we're here. Would you like to change places because it would help the sermon? No, I wouldn't. Do you love everybody? Yes, I do. Even that person? No, I don't. It's a tough teaching, this. We sang a bit earlier on, just a moment ago, in one of the songs, we sang. I could sing of your love forever. 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 I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know, but when the world has seen the light, they will dance for joy like we're dancing now. I could sing of your love forever. That is not a selfish song, just about the love that God has shown to us. We shouldn't have sung that thinking, isn't it great that God loves me? I'll keep it to myself. Isn't it great that God loves me and I'm loved by Jesus? Isn't that fantastic? But not show it to other people. The love that God has given us is a love that we're supposed to, compelled to, required to give out to those around us. It's a hard teaching, but we've got a great example in the Lord Jesus. And that's how when he says it, we can take it seriously. And when he says it, we can know that we can have a part of it. I want to read to you a little bit from our Lent book. And this is from chapter 2. So hopefully that means that even meeting point haven't quite got there just yet, because they're always ahead of the game. Okay. This is about loving people that you're stuck with. Jesus himself knew the feeling of being stuck with someone. For 3 years, he ran with the same crew. By and large, he saw the same dozen or so faces around the table, around the campfire, around the clock. They rowed in the same boats, walked the same roads, visited the same houses. And I wonder, how did Jesus stay so devoted to his men? Not only did he have to put up with their visible oddities, he had to endure their invisible foibles. Think about it. He could hear their unspoken thoughts. He knew their private doubts. Not only that, he knew their future doubts. What if you knew every mistake your loved ones had ever made and every mistake they would make? What if you knew every thought that they would have about you, every irritation, every dislike, every betrayal? Was it hard for Jesus to love Peter, knowing Peter would someday curse him? Was it tough to trust Thomas, knowing Thomas would one day question Jesus' resurrection? How did Jesus resist the urge to recruit a new batch of followers? John wanted to destroy one enemy. Peter sliced off the ear of another. Just days before Jesus' death, his disciples were arguing about which of them was the best. How was he able to love people who were hard like that? Jesus demonstrates his love, and this chapter goes on to talk about it beautifully. He demonstrated his love on the night that he was betrayed, particularly by washing the disciples' feet. Those of you who are going to look at the Lent book and study it as a group on week two, you're going to be asked to wash one another's feet. That's probably switched some of you off right now. But what Max Lucado says, and what Jesus says throughout his ministry, and what he's essentially saying here today in our reading, is love the things that are unlovable. Love the people that are unlovable, and stretch out and live a different life. Do it differently. And if it's hard, Max says in the book, don't focus on the feet that you're washing. Focus on Jesus as you're washing those feet. If loving somebody who you feel is unlovely is difficult, look at Jesus. Because there is a man, there is God, who looked at you and looked at me. And we're pretty unlovable. Deep down, we know that. Deep down, we know there are things that we think and things that we do which make us unlovable people. But Jesus looked at us and loved us. And because we've received that love, we need to have a go at looking at other people and loving them, because that's what Jesus did for you and me. What might that love look like? That's a very difficult question to answer. But it gets easier to answer when I ask the question of myself, what does it mean for me to be loved? How do I experience love? Everybody will have a different kind of answer to that. But you know what it's like to feel loved. You know what that means to you when somebody shows or says in a particular way that they love you. Just mirror that back. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus in our hearts as our Lord and Savior, we know what it's like to have Jesus's love. We know what difference that's made to us. I hope it's made a difference to us. Just mirror that back. In 1 John 4, we read that Jesus, that God loved us before we loved him. Don't wait for other people to love you. Love them first, because the Lord loved us first. Jesus didn't wait until the disciples were perfect before he washed their feet. He washed their feet just before he knew they were going to be so imperfect as to bring about his death and to bring about his isolation. It would really help this sermon if you'd all just come to the front. Standing up, sitting down, find a space. It would really help. As you're moving, falling, whatever it might be, let's just pray. Lord God, may our physical movement this morning be a testament to what we have learned about your call upon our lives. Father, where we are resistant to your call to love one another, even those of us have hurt us or whom we don't like or disagree with, Father, we pray that you would help us to be people on the move, people willing to be different in the way we reach out and relate to people. We thank you, Father, that you moved a long way from heaven to hell and back again, that we might fully understand your love. Father, make us people who reach out in love to all those. And where there are folks, Lord, that even now today we still just cannot love, give us the courage to say at least, Lord, begin a work in my heart that I might be able to one day love that person just as you love me. Amen. Now, before you get up and go back, if you want to go back, one last thing to say is, why does Jesus say we should do this in this passage? Anybody want to throw out an idea? I'm thrilled so many of you moved, by the way. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Essentially, he says, we do this because we are different. And we want people to see that we are different. We are not the same as everybody else. Being a Christian is not to be the same as everybody else. So when the rest of the world says, I'm not going to love, I'm going to hate, when the rest of the world says, I'm not going to be changed, I'm going to stay the same, Christians, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are invited, and that's what it is, it's there to be taken, are invited to be different to everybody else. And I hope and I pray that this week we will love people differently to the way we did last week. And we will love people differently to the way that those who don't know Jesus love people, because we will love even those who hurt us and who we disagree with and who we hate. Let that be our prayer today. Stay where you are. You can go back to your seat. But thank you for playing along this morning.